I feel that my work was betrayed.
Who have all the fury which Didier Drogba is directing at the referee now.
There obviously seemed to be a palpable discord between manager and players.
Hello and welcome back to Palpable Discord, the Chelsea podcast. I'm Jack Rathbourne. I'm joined as always by Will Dubay and Grant James. Today is our preview show, which we'll be bringing you every week. Obviously on Monday, we've got the season opener against Brighton. We'll be breaking down the key battles, revealing our starting 11s and benches, and anything surrounding the game that we think could have a big impact. First of all, a bit of housekeeping. You could follow the podcast on Twitter, at Palpable Pod. You can also follow us in our private accounts, at Jack Rathbourne, at Dubay Will, and at Grant DeSmit. You can find all those handles on the Palpable Pod account. So, kicking things off, a bit of background about the games last season. Brighton obviously survived pretty comfortably in the end. The first game of the season, a routine 2-0 victory, I think it's fair to say, at Stamford Bridge, Jorginho and Willian scoring. The away fixture, a little bit more chaotic. I think Chelsea certainly dominated the opening period of that game. Bit of a trend that season, Aspilicueta scoring a goal, but then Yohan Kabash with an absolutely incredible goal. One of the goals of the season, salvaging a point for Brighton that day. Whether we can learn anything from that game, I'm going to pass it over to Grant. Those games, the friendly we've seen in pre-season, just your thoughts, first of all, and then just dive straight into your starting 11 for the game on Monday, Grant.
Yeah, I think both games we used this 4-3-3 shape that Lampard liked after the restart. So the first one was quite early in the season, and the perception was that we only switched to that shape after the restart, as if Lampard sort of gave it some thought and worked on it a bit once the players were back, and then actually debuted it in a match. But we actually used it three times before the restart as well, quite early in the season, including that Brighton game. And I mean, to be clear, I'm talking about having one holding player and two number 10s, most of the time Mount and Barkley, because I think even if the shape was 4-3-3 in other games, we had Kovacic or Kante playing as one of the two more advanced midfielders, or even Billy Gilmore in the Leicester FA Cup game. So I think there's a actual distinction to be made between Lampard's 4-3-3 with two 10s as opposed to the one with Kovacic or Kante just supporting the holding player. Even in the Super Cup, we played that Kante, Jorginho, Kovacic midfield that Sarri liked. And I mean, that's a world apart from the one we're talking about with the two 10s. So I mean, to go into my side, it's a really difficult lineup to predict from Lampard's side. I think there's probably only three guaranteed starters. I'd say probably Aspilicueta, N'Golo Kante, assuming he hasn't had any injuries on international duty, and Timo Werner. So in goal, I've gone for Caballero. Obviously, there's the Mendy news today that we look like we've finally done that deal, but. So I think it'll be Willie in goal and then Kepa on the bench. So, and then with the back four, I've gone Aspilicueta and Alonso as fullbacks. You know, Reece James obviously ended last season really strongly after that little dip after the restart. I've gone with Alonso because James had a knock in the preseason, and Alonso's height for those Brighton set players is, I think, going to be very useful. Gives a slightly better balance. At centre-back, I've gone for Christensen and Rudiger because Zuma as well also had a knock in pre-season. He only just resumed training on Thursday. And I believe Thiago Silva is not going to be considered, going by Lampard's comments, because he only is going to start training this weekend. So I've gone for Christensen and Rudiger. I'm sure Rudiger's selection will make people delighted, considering his current standing, apparently, among some Chelsea supporters. And in the midfield, I've gone for that 4-3-3. So I've gone with Kante holding, and then Mount and Havertz as two 10s. Now, I really don't know if that's how Lampard's going to set up. We play guessing games, but because Kovacic is suspended, it's basically either going to play Kante and Jorginho and then maybe Mount or Havertz as a 10. I've gone with the two 10s. And then my front three, I've gone for Werner down the middle and Pulisic and Hudson-Odoi as the wingers. And I think, yeah, with just Ziyech out, we're basically down to two wingers. So actually, we don't actually have that much depth on the flanks. I think beyond these two, you know, maybe Mount moving out there, Havertz or Loftus-Cheek. So I've gone with the two natural wingers. Pulisic resumed training this week. Maybe a little bit risky to start him, but yeah, I think considering how he was playing at the end of last season, I think he might just be risked to go straight into the side. And then quickly through my bench, I've got Kepa, Zuma, Reece James, Jorginho, Loftus-Cheek, Giroud and Abraham. Obviously pending any Giroud news about possible exits. And that means Barkley and Emerson aren't in the squad at all. Barkley also just back from a knock. Yeah, so that's how I'm setting up.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think you're right about the shape of the midfield. I think we look at those two games last season against Brighton. It was very quickly Jorginho holding Mount and Barkley in the first game. And then, as you said, Jorginho in the second game with Mount and Kante. So, yeah, I think that is probably where we might see it. To the average viewer, it might be quite bold to play Havertz in that kind of role. But I think that's an ideal setup for Lampard. Quickly on the team news, obviously, like we said, on a couple of those, we've got Chilwell with his heel problem, Ziyech with a knee, Kovacic suspended, Billy Gilmore, obviously, long-term knee issue, and Thiago not quite fit, and dare we say Mendy not quite assimilated with the side. To go to my team, I do think Kepa will start. I think it's hard to say whether he'll give him one last chance, given the signing of Mendy, but I think one final chance for Kepa. I've gone with, I like your call of a bit of extra height in that side, but I do think it would be a blow to James's confidence if he didn't start this game. But I have gone with James at right back. I've gone with Rudiger and Christensen, centre back. And I've gone with Aspilicueta at left back. I think there's an interesting quote from Lampard in the build-up to this. He's very happy to welcome back Pulisic and Aspilicueta from injuries a little bit sooner than he initially thought. The quote is, "I have to be careful and I have a squad to pick from, but the way they're training and the attitude to come back, it looks like they're over those injuries." So, like you said, I think just the attitude Aspilicueta has to play his way through little niggles, I think he'll be in one way or another, like maybe at right back like Grant has, but I think he'll be in. And I don't think Pulisic will be in from the start. I think he has got a little bit of a trend of injuries, so I think he'll err on the side of caution. Before we get to the front line, I've got Kante holding. I've got Jorginho holding, Kante and Havertz as those dual tens. I've actually got Mason Mount popping up on that right side. Not quite a natural winger, as you have, Grant. And then I've got Hudson-Odoi on the left, which I think is his natural position. Played there against Brighton from the start, looking really good for the under-21s too. And I think this is a wonderful opportunity with Pulisic not quite match sharpness, not quite there. And I think the way he'll play quite close to Werner, I think that'll be a really fascinating subplot to this game. So, yeah, that front three, once again, I've got Mount, Werner, Hudson-Odoi and Kante and Havertz flanking Jorginho.
Cool. Yeah. I'm definitely not. Kepa's nowhere near my team. He's on the bench. I've spent the whole day furiously masturbating over clips of Edouard Mendy collecting crosses from the edge of his box. So I can't wait for him to be included in the team. But I think it will be Cavalera. I think Kepa's probably going to go out on loan somewhere. I think there's going to be quite a few players that maybe go out on loan. So I think it'll be Caballero. I've gone for Aspi at right back. I've gone for Christensen and Rudiger at centre back and Alonso left back. Kind of agree with Grant. I think Alonso's height is going to be important. I think you would have Zuma normally in this game, given the height as well. But Christensen, obviously, I think he's had kind of a full mini preseason, so I think he'll get the nod. And he obviously played for Denmark the other day. And then I've made a one change listening to your guys' teams just now, because I think you both make quite good points. I've gone for Jorginho I didn't have Jorginho, but I do think Jorginho will play. I think for now he has to be in the plans, just because we're short of sort of defensive midfield players, and I think we've been linked with Rice, but I think that might be quite a difficult deal to do. So I think Jorginho will kind of be brought back into the fold a little bit. And he did play both of these games against Brighton, sort of in the holding midfield position. So I think it'll be him. And then I think it'll be Kante and Mount ahead of him. I've sort of got Kante playing that kind of role. He sort of played under Sarri. And in the friendly the other day, we played it was a two, him and Kovacic, when we lost the ball, went back to a two. But then when we had possession, he was kind of shuttling up and down that right-hand side and protecting the space that Ziyech was kind of leaving quite open. So I think he'll kind of perform a similar role. And then I've got Jorginho, Kante and Mount in more of a three. And then I've got Hudson-Odoi on the left. And I've got Havertz on the right, just because I think he might be kind of eased in from that right-hand side. I think it's maybe a bit of an easier place to sort of receive the ball, a little bit less pressure, let him sort of feel his way into the game. But I think you're right, Jack. I think Mount could potentially be used wide here and Havertz in the middle. But I think maybe that's how Havertz will be used, just for his debut, really. I don't see him being used there much at all. And I think it kind of addresses the balance that you might lose having Ziyech out, having a left footer from that side, and Werner up front. But that's my team. And in the bench, Kepa, James, Zuma, Barkley, Loftus-Cheek, Pulisic, and I think Tammy. I think Giroud, something had mixed reports over Giroud with this bid from Juve and things like that. But I think, there's no smoke without fire with these things a lot of the time. And I think even if there's a little bit of uncertainty, and if there is a bid that's going to come in, you've got to maybe kind of leave him out and go with Tammy. So,
I see we've all got Callum starting. So we are expecting that. If he's on the bench, I mean, how much of a blow is that? Because Pulisic's not fully fit and Ziyech's out. If Mount or Havertz are playing wide, it's not that I fear for his minutes because the squad's fairly small in the wide area, so there are minutes to go. But you'd imagine it'd be quite a blow to him if he didn't actually start this game.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. And I don't think it's, even though we've all got him in, I don't think it's beyond the realms that he could be out, because I think you could quite easily, Lampard's assessment of the game, he might not want to carry two, if that makes sense, depending on where he puts Havertz. I think if you did put him further forward and he isn't quite used to the setup and integrating in the press, if you had him and Hudson-Odoi either side of Werner, I think you might be chancing it a little bit. So you could very well you could very well swerve towards Havertz, put Mount in there and bring in, like you said, bring in Jorginho, who I know is not every Chelsea fan's favourite, but I think at least initially, I think if you can get bodies around him, I think he can maybe fulfil a job a bit more with a bit more reliability than Callum has shown so far. Obviously, he does need to improve that, and he will because he's a young boy. But I think that would be a blow if he didn't start. But I just think his form, he showed bright spots against Brighton, even better for the under 21. So I think he'll be in. I think like you both said, it's a lineup which is fraught with absentees, injuries, suspensions, uncertainty over transfers. But I think the spine is reasonably similar. Our fullbacks, I think, is where maybe there's a toss up there between two from James, Aspilicueta, and Alonso. I do like the call of getting a bit more height in there. I just worry that whether James can be involved. Cannot be involved from the start, even without Ziyech further down the right. I think we will need that extra width down there. So that's the way I see it, certainly regarding James.
Yeah, I think it's a bit left field, but Brighton have been playing three at the back quite a lot. And if we think they're going to set up with the you know, with the 3-4-2-1, maybe we might actually match up, because if you look at the personnel, you'd have Jorginho and Kante in the midfield, and maybe Havertz and Mount or Werner, and then you fit in all of the five defenders. You get a bit more height into the side as well with the extra defender. So I think that's and then Hudson-Odoi is benched, which I wouldn't be super surprised by. I think it's actually quite well balanced as well. So I don't think it's that unlikely if we think Brighton are going to set up that way.
How Brighton are going to set up. I was looking at their how they set up from the restart, and they played 4-4-2, 3-4-1-2, 4-2-3-1, and they played a 4-4-2 diamond. And against Liverpool and City, they played 4-4-2 and 4-4-2 diamond. And then against us, they played 3-4-1-2. I mean, it's just quite impossible to predict. I think when we played the 4-3-3 twice last season, at the Bridge, they played like a 5-4-1. And then in the home game, they played like a 3-4-1-2 to sort of match us up in that middle. I think they had someone kind of sit. I think Moy was kind of sitting on Jorginho. And then the guys either side of the sort of the two sort of matched up with the two kind of 8/10. But I've no idea what they're going to do. But I think Frank will probably set up in that 4-3-3 and play on the front foot, very attacking, and just try and sort of blow them away, sort of early doors. Brighton are impossible to predict, I think.
Yeah, I think just in the way they've got so many options at the back, I think return of Ben White, I mean, that's absolutely massive. Whether they go with a three or not, I just think as a two, as a pair of centre-backs, him and Dunk, that's about as good as you can hope for if you're Brighton. And they obviously got Webster, Dan Burn can play there as well. So you've got really promising group of centre-backs. They obviously bought in Veltman as well. So, yeah, lots of options there. And it's whether they can get that whip from the wing-backs if they do play three at the back. They probably can, because they got, obviously, we know a lot about Lamptey and his energy. Bernardo's is a quality player too. So they've definitely got options. I'm fascinated by this as an opening game. I just think it's set up beautifully to see whether Lampard has made any difference in such a short space of time, because obviously we know that the goals was an issue last season, conceding just a little stat of all the goals we conceded last season, 38 away from home. That's the joint worst in the league with Norwich. So a bit alarming, and I think away to Brighton, I think it'll be a chance to maybe start putting that right. On the opposite end of that, only 16 conceded at home. That was the third best. So I think you're going to see a bit of positive regression as such. They have to. They can't be as bad. Certainly with the attention he'll have to give the defence, the addition of Thiago, who I don't think Chelsea fans or Lampard himself is relying that much on Thiago changing it. I just think it needs a little bit more attention. I just think it's a fascinating game. Anybody from Brighton you guys are particularly worried about, or you think can pose Chelsea some issues? I mean, they haven't spent as much as they did last year. I mentioned the defensive, shouldn't say signings, obviously White was their player, but returns. Lallana, obviously, the big addition further forward.
Yeah, the one guy I really like is Trossard. You know, Trossard and Moy playing off the strikers, they're really, really dangerous coming between the lines. Obviously, Moy's left, so you'd think Lallana would take that spot. I mean, that's why I think a back three for them might make sense, because Lallana as a 10 or coming off the wing, you're giving yourself a bit less defensive protection. So I think if it's Trossard and Lallana behind Mope, and then you've got Dan Burn and possibly Lamptey as the wing backs, and as you mentioned now with White and Foutman coming in, they've got four really good central defenders. So it would make sense probably to play three of them, possibly White, Duncan, Webster, and Foutman starts off the bench. So that's why I think Lampard might just guess that they're going to pick that side. They haven't got a lot of natural wingers, so playing with those two inside forwards makes sense. And then generally he has tried to match up against teams playing three at the back. Obviously we beat Wolves twice last season, matching up to them. And we saw the Sheffield United game where we actually didn't match up, and we changed at halftime and looked slightly better, although we were horrific in the first half. Anyway, it was really up from there. So they haven't had a big summer. They've had only a few signings. They got lost Ndonka from Club Bruges, obviously Ndonka's brother from Wolves. Lallana and Foppen are the big ones, and a big button by big ones. Lallana's a free and Foppen was 900k, an absolute steal. So they haven't invested a lot, and most of the players we've left have been squad players. I mean, Shane Duffy was put out of the picture last season, and Glenn Murray as well has gone alone. I mean, Moy is a reasonable loss. I mean, I like him. He's tenacious, creative, good, you know, good little player. But I don't think they're any weaker. And they've got a few more options with these versatile signings. Obviously, Lamptey, I'm keen to see against us as well. I mean, against Alonso, that's speed, a huge speed advantage for Brighton. But if we're playing diagonals onto him with Alonso pushing up, yeah, they can get a lot of joy from that. I mean, Lamptey can't live with Alonso in the air. So I think that could be a good little route for us.
Definitely. You mentioned Lamptey just before we finish up with some predictions. Obviously, somebody that Lampard desperately wanted to keep, I think, showed a lot of promise in a very small sample size. I think perhaps you just saw Reece James there, Azpilicueta, just thought the route to my regular games is just not there. Sad to see him leave, but I think a tremendous decision from him to go to Brighton. He's going to improve a lot this season. One thing before I flip it to you on your thoughts on Lamptey is just the way that he is a right back, he's a right wing back, but very comfortable when he comes inside in that inside channel, can sort of underlap a little bit. So I think that's something to be wary of slightly. I think very comfortable on the ball and calm. So yeah, certainly someone that Potter can build through down that right side and further in inside as well, I think.
Yeah, Lamptey's going to be a bit of a cat and mouse down that side, you'd think. I think Grant makes good points about the potential out ball to Alonso. But I don't know if it's Callum and Alonso that side, you know, we could be leaving a lot of space for him to exploit. I think you're right, Grant. I think they'll go the same shape that they did when we in the reverse fixture, 3-4-1-2. I think Lallana essentially replaces Moy in that system. And then I think in that game, I think Trossard and Maupay started sort of as the two. I'm not entirely sure. I think so. Trossard didn't actually play sort of tucked in just behind the front man. So I think that way it kind of matches up our potential for 3-3. But yeah, the Lamptey-Alonso battle will be fascinating. Two completely different players, completely different wing-backs. And I think, Grant, you made the point, I think, when Lamptey signed for Brighton, I think if he was left-footed, we probably would have saved a lot of money on signing Ben Chilwell, because I think we would have had, you know, the perfect player to come through and play that spot. I think he's very small and, you know, there are going to be mismatches where you just can't live with someone if they're really tall and aggressive in the air. But he can handle himself in the air. He gets up and kind of is really aggressive. A little bit like how Patrice Evra used to be. You know, I mean, yeah. Patrice Evra was tiny, but he just get up. So no, I love him. I you know, who knows? Maybe when Azpilicueta eventually hangs up his boots, probably at the age of like 42 or something. Maybe we can take Lamptey back, but we'll see.
Yeah, a really interesting battle, like you said. Finally, just to sort of put a bow on this prediction. So I'll go to you first, Grant.
Now that I've come around to the idea, sort of as we've talked of us starting with three at the back, so I think if I can cheat, and because we're actually predicting what Lampard's going to do and not actually selecting our side, because I think we'd all pick different players, I think we'd all probably start Zuma, but now that we're actually predicting Lampard's side, I think I'm going to cheat a bit and go to three at the back. If we match up and they play three at the back, I think we'll beat them, maybe 2-1. Maybe we haven't got, you know, we haven't been keeping clean sheets for a long time. So I'd say maybe both sides are going to score, but I'd say we'd win. If they play three at the back and we play four, yeah, I think we might have a bit more trouble. They can have a lot of heights, maybe 1-1 in that case. So I'm covering a lot of bases. But yeah, let me say we'll win 2-1 and we'll start three at the back.
Mm-hmm. And you will?
I'll go for 2-0 Chelsea. I think we'll come out firing. I think we'll be you know, pressing really high. I think there'll be lots of movement in that final third. I think if we can score first and then, you know, maybe soak up a little bit of pressure, and then I think maybe Werner on the break or Callum on the break. I think Callum, like you said, Jack, looking really sharp. From the friendly the other day, it was a poor friendly, but he was one of the few players that sort of stood out. And in the 21s, he looks really sharp. So he finally looks like he's kind of over that injury, which is a nasty injury. I'm going for 2-0.
I'm going to go for 1-1. I think there's going to be a little bit of vulnerability still there. And I just think with the certainly the signings, it was always going to be hard to gel quickly. But now with a couple of injuries, the suspensions, I think we're a little bit vulnerable in there in the midfield. As we've said, Jorginho almost in there by accident or necessity. I'll go for 1-1. And then the job will be to make sure that not to overreact as much as inevitably everybody will. I'll go for 1-1. Just one final closing comment. Giroud, anybody believe that he will continue under Lampard this season? Or do you believe the rumours? Do you see him having an impact off the bench? Will he be first choice ahead of Tammy on Monday to come off the bench?
I think you jump in, Will, to start with.
I think he'll be left out. I think I kind of mentioned it in my team selection. I think there's probably something to it. I think he wanted to leave in January, and understandably so, because he barely played up until January. But I think the club kind of blocked that, and he just got on with it, ultimate professional. So I think if he does want to leave, if he's got a good offer from Juventus, then I think we won't stand in his way, based on, you know, the professionalism he showed. I'd like to see him stay. I mean, I think we're too overloaded in the sort of 10 area. Barkley, Havertz, Ruben, Mount, even Ziyech. Maybe that'll be a role that Ziyech plays in a free as well. I think really we need to move on. We need to get rid of players from that area. And I'd like to see three centre-forwards stay. And I think Giroud is one of those guys who is probably, you know, great to have in the training pitch, probably got leads by example in the training pitch. And he's just a completely different option. I think if you've got Werner, Tammy and Giroud, that's three completely different options. And I think with a really long season, with loads of games and short recovery time, I think three strikers is a good way to go into the season. But then again, on the other hand, if he does go, it creates potential, you know, more games for Tammy. And, you know, in the long term, maybe that's something that, you know, that's a good thing if it can help get Tammy more chance of staying in the long term. So there's, you know, there's positives and negatives to both, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you, Grant?
Well, Giroud last season, okay, 10 goals in 1,400 minutes. So, I mean, he had a very, really good strike rate. And then we know that he had an extremely strange spell in the season where he just couldn't get a kick, he couldn't make the squad even. There was the run of 22 league games where he appeared twice, once as a sub, and then that random West Ham start when he hadn't played in months, and he played that game against West Ham when him and Pedro started and we lost 1-0 at home. And then, you know, obviously after the break, an amazing run of form. I mean, he ended with 8 league goals, which is pretty impressive when you're playing twice in 22 games in the middle of the season. Look, he's had a contract in 1 year. I think there is some idea to try and balance the books. And if we keep him here, he goes for nothing at the end of the season. Look, it's probably a little bit cutthroat, but I think keeping him until January and then looking possibly to move him on would make sense, because it gives a bit of time for Werner to settle in, Havertz to settle in. And January's pretty close this season compared to other seasons. It's not, you know, 6 months away, or it's pretty close. So I think if he didn't play a lot, we could still keep him quite happy. He could play as a sub. He gives us the extra height we need. Obviously, we lose some height in the number 9 position with Werner playing versus Abraham or Giroud. I don't think there's also much benefit to getting €5 million, but I'm just really explaining what the club might be thinking. I mean, if we can write off €5 million and have another option, that would be my, the way I would go with it. He's apparently set to talk on French TV or something at 7 p.m. UK time. So, I mean, I'm going to guess that he's going to stay and there's not much in this. To move to Juve and to be their starting number nine with Ronaldo and Dybala in support, possibly. I mean, for him, it's a no-brainer. But I've got a feeling he's going to hang around and would be in the squad on Monday.
Yeah, I think so. I think you keep him around given the window is closing later. I think you want to have a good look to see whether Werner can handle the load through the middle should something happen to Tammy. I think you also want to have maybe a small look at Havertz, maybe not from the start, but maybe 20 minutes here or there if the game unfolds in a way which allows you to just take a look at him in that false nine role. I think that'll be something that's interesting to Lampard. Certainly was effective there for Leverkusen, and the way he times his runs in the box, if you can get Pulisic fit again, and Callum shows a lot, you could get a lot of pace going wide, and he could vacate the space in and around the penalty area and arrive late. So I think that's something to look at. I just think, yeah, like there's no urgency here. I think certainly with the national team, he's trusted. He's so experienced. It's not a case like maybe Batshuayi where he had to go to maybe ensure that he has a chance to play at the Euros next summer. I think Giroud is pretty much there. If he stops playing altogether right through to the end of the season, then he'd obviously be in trouble. But there's enough time to salvage this now, I think. And like I said, could maybe move him on in January. And certainly Lampard likes the way that he almost mentors Tammy a little bit. So I think despite the opportunity, if it was exactly how it's presented, I think he might be itching to go there. But I don't think Giroud is their absolute first choice to come in and replace Higuain. I think they've looked at Suarez, looked at Dzeko. I think Giroud would be somebody in addition to whoever their first choice will be, probably Suarez. So, yeah, I think he'll hang around. So that'll just about do it for us today. We'll be coming to you next week with a review of the game. If you could just give us some feedback on Twitter, follow us at Palpable Pod. Let us know if you like the format, previewing the games, reviewing the games. We'll be endeavouring to get some guests on it at some point, maybe some former players, former coaches, people with some insight on future opponents. So yeah, look forward to that. Like I said, give us a follow on Twitter at Palpable Pod. You can follow me at Jack Rathborn. You can follow Will at Dubay Will, and you can follow Grant at Grant DeSmith. I've been Jack Rathborn. Thank you very much for listening. We'll catch you on Monday.